manna, the sign gift of unknown tongues. We see it in Acts chapter 2 where they spoke and people heard them in their various languages, 14 different languages, and they heard them in those languages. So we have the purpose of them given, and they were one of the several sign gifts confirming the word, confirming the messenger that he was of God, confirming that the word he was preaching and speaking was from God. We saw that when the word of God was completed and the purpose of the sign gifts was no longer there, that they ceased, that they stopped in that function. And so we did spend a good deal of time going over that and giving scriptural references and evidences for that concerning the sign gift of healing. We didn't really do a whole lot with the sign gift of tongues. We didn't do a whole lot with the sign gift of healing. So I wanted to take a little time tonight and go over that because that's, something that you hear a lot about these days. You hear these people that term themselves faith healers, and you have seen it on the television or internet, these people like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts, and he's not around anymore, but all the current crop of so-called faith healers, you see them and wonder what's going on there. They're all claiming that all of the sign gifts are still operational, including the sign gift of healing, supernatural special ability to heal given to persons. And so I wanted to deal with that a little bit tonight, and as we finish up with our study on the Holy Spirit, we'll deal with that one tonight. The gift of healing is a hallmark of Pentecostal charismatic doctrine. It's just it's kind of one of the distinctives of Pentecostal charismatic thinking and theology. So we want to spend a little bit of time talking about why the Scripture is clear that this kind of operational gift is not functional today. That it was at one time, it was during the apostolic era, but it's not today. We see that the Word of God teaches divine healing, but it certainly opposes the practices of modern-day divine healers. So that's what we're going to talk about. God is omnipotent, and His power extends all the way to His ability to heal the physical body. Certainly, that is true. He can heal anyone at any time in any way that He wills. But the issue is not, can God heal? Yes, indeed, God can heal and does. The issue is rather the gift of healing, as we see it expressed in the Scriptures, is still operational today. And that's the thing that we are saying is not so. Look at the healing ministry of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4. And verse 23 and 24, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. That'll get us started here. In the Bible, there's 18 specific healings by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. And here's one of those accounts. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. And so we have the testimonies over and over again of that same kind of situation where Jesus healed all of them and all types of diseases that they had, including such things as the diseases of the mind, the disorders of the mind, and the possession by devils, all of those things, as well as the various physical ailments that people came to him with. So in looking at the healing work of Jesus Christ, we see he healed people where he found them. They didn't have to go to special healing meetings. He healed people where he found them. And he healed all manner of illnesses and sickness. They didn't have to come into a line and get into a screening process in order to be approved for the faith healer to touch them and heal them. You know, there was none of that going on as there is in the work of these so-called faith healers. Number three, Christ's healings were always complete. They weren't, the people didn't suffer relapses. They didn't have to have a convalescent time. They were immediately and completely healed. Christ's healings were never for a payment. They were free of charge. There was no offering taken. There were no books sold. There were no handkerchiefs given out for a price. And so those things certainly are distinct from what you see in the so-called ministry of the so-called faith healers of this present hour. Christ generally, not always, but Christ generally healed without touching the persons. There were no theatrics. There wasn't any, you know, of this business of, you know, slaying in the spirit and falling and rolling and all of these things like that. None of that was going on. Christ never prayed before he healed. He just healed. He never had this, you know, time that they do in the faith healing circles, those kinds of things. No, he didn't pray before. He just healed people as they came. And Jesus did not ever want the physical healing to be the main focus. As a matter of fact, when we read of some of his healings, we hear him saying to those that were healed, "Now see that thou tell no man." Why would he say that? He was telling them that because he didn't want that to be the reason why folks sought after him, just for the physical benefit that they might get from healing, a physical healing. You see, Jesus understood and tried to declare, tried to get the people to understand that the least important aspect of our health is our physical health. The most important aspect of our health is our spiritual health. Second most important is the health of our soul. Least important is the physical healing. So he tried to communicate that and keep people from focusing on that. But you know how people were. When you tell them to go give the gospel out, they won't. But when you tell them not to say it to anybody else, they go out and tell everybody. You know, so that's what had happened there with time and again. Look at Mark chapter 7. Here's one example of it. Mark chapter 7, Jesus is healing, and he's telling them, now keep this quiet. Let's not make this the focus. Let's not make this the reason why people seek me. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 36, he charged them that they should tell no man. Well, their ears were open, their tongues were loose, they were deaf and dumb, and he healed them. He charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." And that is true. The testimony of him was so. He had done all things well, and he had done those things, but he had indicated to them that they should not make that the focus. But that is not the case with the present-day faith healers, those that broadcast themselves as having this supernatural gift. They certainly want everyone to know about it, and they want everyone to tell about it. So that's the difference there. Christ's healing ministry, though, was primarily related to Israel. So you have those that Christ healed. You see that crowd, too. Now, you notice something else, too, about that crowd. Mostly, they were unsaved when he healed them. They were unsaved, or they were saved at the time they were healed. At the time of their healing, they were also dealt with about their faith in Christ. And we see several accounts where people physically healed and also spiritually healed in the same, in close to the same time frame. So certainly that is the case very often. But there were times that there was no indication that there was a spiritual change in the lives of the persons that he healed. See, the 10 lepers healed and only one came back to give God the glory. The rest went on their way, unchanged spiritually. So these healings had that distinctive too. Now in these modern day healing ministries, of course, they are coming into churches and dealing with people that are at least professing to be Christians that go to these things. So what a difference! That's the healing ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the healing work anyway of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it did tie in with the theme of sign gifts and the declaration of the speaker being giving evidence that he was who he said he was and that he was speaking the word of God. They're valid in that sense in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're valid in that sense because they were, their function was going on during that time. Now you have the healing ministry, the healing work of the apostles as well. As you follow on out of the book of Acts, you get out of the, well, you see the apostles doing some healing work in the gospels as well. But in the book of Acts, it's prominent. You see several examples of specific miracles of healing in the book of Acts, and you see some statements about healing in the book of Acts as well. We'll just take one example of that in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And so we'll read the first 16 verses that we want to take a look at. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1 down through 16. And we'll see that in relationship to the work of the apostles and their healing work. Acts chapter 3. And now Peter and John went up together to the temple to hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that had entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So there's a very detailed story, a detailed account of the healing of the lame man under the ministry of the apostles. And you see some distinctions there as well. The two apostles healed this man where he was. They didn't say, "Well, come down next week. We're holding a special healing revival meeting over here at the tent, and you come on down, and we'll get you in line, and we'll get you ready." They didn't do that. They healed him where he was. They didn't conduct a healing meeting. They didn't draw attention to themselves. In fact, they were very upset that people were looking at them rather than looking to Christ as the healer. So they were not going to let that go by either. The afflicted man didn't even come there seeking to be healed. He wasn't intending that. His concern was getting some alms, making some money, having some money given to him. And so you see that. You see that the apostles, like the Lord Jesus, their healing, the healing that took place because of what they said and who they pointed this man to, the healing that took place was complete. It was full strength. The man was walking, leaping, and praising God where he hadn't even been able to stand before. And of course, so his healing was complete. He didn't suffer any relapse in the same fashion. And Peter and John claimed no responsibility for that other than to point the man to Christ, you know. And so the apostolic healings were there in the Bible, but they were really not the major part of their ministry. They were not the major purpose of their ministry. They were simply apostolic sign gifts that were given for people to get people to give attention to what was really more important. And as you have time to read on down past there in Acts chapter 3, you see where the shift went immediately to the proclamation of the gospel of Christ and the need of salvation for people. And so that's what they did. These things were accompanied by gospel preaching on down there in verse 19 of that same chapter. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. And so he goes on to the preaching of Christ right on after that that incident. Of course, they're going to be paying attention. They're seeing this man healed. They're going to be recognizing that there's something different about this Peter and this John. And what they're saying, there must be some credibility to it. So you see the validity of the sign gifts operational there. Well, now, you hear that the Pentecostal might tell you this. He said, well, the healing, the physical healing, the miracle of healing is provided for in the atonement of Jesus Christ. And so that's what Jesus stripes. By his stripes you were healed and so forth. But the healing that he refers to there is the healing that is in our spirit, in our soul particularly. He's not talking about an ongoing gift of being healed or this idea that Christians should never be sick, you know, or something's wrong, or you're giving in to the devil, or something wrong if you're ever sick with anything wrong with you, because healing is in the atonement, and that's the argument that is given by the faith healer. But it's clear from Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17 that that's not the case. That in fact, Matthew 8, he declares that the fulfillment of Isaiah was here, was during the ministry of the Lord. Look back at Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16 and 17. When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. And look at this verse, number 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So the idea of this ongoing thing is answered right there. It was fulfilled in the era that we're talking about here, in the apostolic era, the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and verse 5, where it says he healed all our diseases, you know, and that by his stripes we were healed. So that was fulfilled in the era of the apostles, in the era that the gospels were effectual. And so we have that taking place. As we mentioned already, healing is definitely one of the sign gifts. You see it in Mark chapter 16 where, Paul was talking about the poisons and the serpents, the poison of serpents, and the poison, if it was ingested, would not have an ill effect upon those apostles that were demonstrating that gift. And so this idea of healing, and it declared there in Mark 16 is part of the sign gifts that were evidences of the speakers speaking the word of God. So the bottom line, though, is that Christ does heal today. He does. God certainly can, and he does heal the physical bodies of people today. Some of you are testimony to that, the very fact that Christ has healed. And in miraculous ways, too, has healed. And the answer to prayer, has healed. I've had it happen in my own family. I've had it happen in yours. You've seen when there were situations that were beyond any ability of any doctor to fully comprehend or explain, that God went ahead and did the healing work. He doesn't always do that, and yet he can, and he does. So God does that healing work. The phrase that we need to bear in mind with that is the thought, if it be thy will, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. If it be thy will, heal them. If you can be glorified in it, healing. And so certainly not wrong at all for us to pray for one another when we're sick, pray for one another when we're ill. In fact, we find the scriptures teach us to do that, to ask for others to pray for us when we're ill. Not every one of us is going to be healed when we ask that, and certainly not. It's not something that happens just all the time. We don't come and pray for people that are sick to be healed and get calls before we leave church that all of them are well. That's not the way it goes. But we do pray, and sometimes God heals, and sometimes God lets that cancer take that life. And they're gone, And so we don't argue with God about it. We simply say, Lord, thy will be done. We see the scripture makes it plain of why we're sick anyway. We're not sick because God's mean and bad and hurtful and wants us to suffer. We're sick because that's part of the penalty of sin. That's part of the curse of sin on a sinful world, that we get sick. And that curse is not going to be lifted until Jesus returns and lifts that curse from the earth. But in the meantime, we're going to deal with sicknesses and all kinds of things that we don't enjoy, that we don't want, that we don't like, but we're going to deal with it. The scripture's clear that sin, when it's finished its work, the ultimate end that sin brings is death. And so we die, we get sick, and we die because of the fact that all of us were born with a sin nature, and all of us are sinners. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by choice, and so we have the effects of sin, and one of the effects is that we get sick, So we just, we thank the Lord that we can pray, and he can alleviate the sickness, or he can remove the sickness, or he can give us grace to deal with it as we do. He can give us the grace to bear it and even the grace to be able to benefit from it. But it's all his doing. A great many Christians in any era were not healed. We see it even in the biblical era when the sign gift of healing was effectual. We even see it there. Now, no one that came to Jesus was not healed. You see every place where anybody came for healing to Jesus, they were healed, all of them. And over and over again, you see when he healed all of them. Do you imagine a whole town full of people, and there's, in any town, if it was a modern town, it would have 6 or 7 places, doctor's office, hospitals there, and there'd be, in our town, there's 7 or 8 hospitals, and every one of them probably has 300 or 400 people in it, And then there's all kind of folk that aren't in the hospital. They're still sick. And it'd be in the thousands in our valley in any given day. It'd be in the many, many thousands of people sick and dying. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus coming through and everybody in Murrieta and everybody in Temecula and everybody in French Valley and everybody in Hemet and everybody in the regions beyond, everybody in Lake Elsinore, and everyone was well. Everyone was well. Everyone that came out and sought healing from the Lord was healed. That would be a remarkable thing. The hospitals would lay off all their staff because nobody's there. Everybody would be, just sitting home watching, old episodes of, When Comes the Heart or something like that. So there'd be no need for doctors, nurses, and hospitals, at least for a while. What an unimaginable thing that would be. And that was the case when Jesus came to town and they brought the sick to him. Everybody that came was healed. But by the time we reach into the book of Acts and go on into the epistles, We're still talking about the apostolic era. We're still talking about the fact that there was supernatural healing taking place. But yet you see some references in the scripture of people that wanted to be healed, but that weren't healed. I mean, Christians, I mean, godly people that wanted to be healed, but weren't healed. Can you think of any? Paul was one, yeah. He had what he described as a physical ailment. It's some kind of physical ailment. He described it as a thorn in the flesh that troubled him every day. And thrice, you know, he asked the Lord, can you heal me of this? Can I be delivered from this? And the Lord just kept telling him, no, my grace is sufficient for you. When you're weak, that's when my strength can be demonstrated through you. And so you're one of those people that has enough that if you were just perfectly healthy and fine and strong, you might begin to think it's of you. So Paul was like that. He's a brilliant man, a very gifted intellectual man. He remembered just about everything he read. He was capable of debate and always winning the debate. You know, he was a man that was very, very intellectually capable. And so if he had physical prowess and strength and ability in addition to that, it is apparent that he wouldn't have been as reliant upon the Lord as God required of him to be. And so he was one like that. Somebody else in the Bible that was a good Christian, wanted to be healed, but had some problems. Anybody else think of somebody else? Timothy was one, yeah. Timothy, he said, you know, Timothy, we've prayed, we've asked the Lord to heal this stomach issue of yours, what it was, you know, and he had problems, lots of problems, and often infirmities is what Paul described as. You're sick a lot, Timothy. You're sick a lot. So he said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, doctor's not going to say if you got stomach ailments, say you go drink a gallon of vodka and you'll be fine. That's not a prescription. But they may say, take the fruit of the vine and the healing characteristics of the fruit of the vine, the grape. There are healing. There certainly is healing characteristics in that. There's benefit in that. So whatever the recommendation was, and it may have been some medicinal sense, that he recommended. But at any rate, the point that I'm trying to make in this is that that Timothy, a godly man, a pastor serving the Lord, sold out for Jesus, he got sick a lot. He had often infirmities. Paul didn't suggest to him that take this, you know, if you ever get that again, you know, if it's kind of rare. But he said, you got this problem all the time, you know. You're living with this continually, and that was one. There are several others in the Bible, maybe not so prominent, but we read of Trophimus in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20. He said, Paul's writing there, and he says to Timothy, he says, Erasmus abode at Corinth. Erasmus, interesting character. Erasmus was the treasurer in Corinth, and then he got saved, and then he left the prestigious position as the treasurer in Corinth, as one of the prominent citizens of Corinth, and he followed Christ. He followed Christ and worked with Paul, and that was this Erasmus. He left him there serving in the Corinth church and working there. He said, but Trophimus, another of his co-workers who traveled with him, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. So Paul, who, you know, people even passing by, even being in a position where the shadow of Peter or Paul passed by, many of them were healed just by the presence of the passing of their shadow or the touch of their garment. Many of them were healed. But in this case, Miletus was not healed. God's purposes in his life required that he remain at Miletus sick. So you have accounts like that in the scripture of individuals that were not healed. And today we have the same situation. We have some that aren't healed and some that are not healed. Our concern is simply to call upon the Lord and to pray for one another. The scripture makes it clear that, if any's sick among you, the idea there suggests that there's going to be people sick among us. He said, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil and pray over him. And then he said, in the context of that, they said, and if he's got things that in his life that are the reason behind why he's sick and that the Lord's chastening him or something, he said, you know, let him pray, get right with God on those things, and let the Lord heal him up, bring him out of that, bring him on from that. So the context there suggests a prospect of some sickness being a result of our own, you know, sins unconfessed, unforsaken. Certainly we know that when an individual becomes embittered and angry and has that spirit of bitterness, we know doctors will tell us, any practicing doctor will tell us that we can affect our physical health by our attitude, by the way we think, by the way we, by the way we conduct our day-to-day life. We can alter our physical health. I'm told, I don't know that I can give you documentation off the top of my head on this, but I'm told that about 80% or so of illness is related to that attitude, to that spirit, to that bitterness, to that anger, to that, to those things that are, and I'm told they call it psychosomatic, you know, those that are in the spirit and in the soul that affect the body. So it is obvious why that the Lord put the order in, says, you know, work on the spiritual health first, then comes the health of the soul, follows after that the health of the body, and certainly a body is, a person is going to be more physically healthy when his spirit and soul are in tune with the Lord. So that idea there in James chapter 5, where it talks about that, is certainly connected with the thought that we need to be sure as we're, you know, praying that God help me not to bring on things that affect me physically because I am letting things go spiritually or in my soul. God help me with that. So there is certainly something to be said about that as well. But the bottom line is, yes, thank God he does have the capability to heal, and he does have the desire to heal, and he does the work of healing, but it's all him. We persons don't need to take any kind of credit for praying somebody well or, any kind of credit for having any part in somebody being healed. We don't have any credit for that. Thank God for the fact that the Scripture makes it clear that physical healing is part of His, part of God's work, but also He commends the work of physicians. One of the writers of the Bible was a doctor. Dr. Luke was a physician, traveled with Paul, ministered to some of his physical ailments. And so Dr. Luke, we have Dr. Welch, and we have Dr. Andrade, and we have lots of nurses, and thank God these ministries that are carried out by them are biblical things. We are given the blessing of having people that have the understanding of things and can help us through those difficulties and help us with those things. We thank God for the blessing of physicians, but best of all is the hand and the touch of the great physician. So thank God for that. Let me give you a couple of missionary letters here to pray for, and we'll go to our time of prayer here in a minute. I want to ask you to